Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spear back with you here on this Thursday morning. Thursday, February 15th, 2024, 11 minutes past the hour, 32 degrees right at the freezing mark and cloudy skies here in the Marion area. Do want to remind everybody, tomorrow is going to be a big day here at the... But also, Voice of the People with Linda Sims comes on when I go off today. 10:15 to 12 noon, and Adam, the computer guy today, 12:15 until 1 p.m. But tomorrow morning, we put a little bit in hour number one this morning. Tomorrow morning, starting at 9:15. Now, the first hour, it'll just be me tomorrow. But the second hour, from 9:15 until 11 a.m., I will be joined by somebody who used to be on with me on a regular basis and really has not been on with me at all, honestly, in 12 years. The last time I think we did a show together was June or July of 2012, so 12 years ago. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow and having this person back in the fold on a regular basis. So looking forward to that. Now, Matt secured his first big interview. Again, I don't want to steal his thunder and tell you who it is. I'm sure he'll tell you about that tomorrow and tell you when it's going to be on. But so proud of him doing that. It's a good interview. I think it'll be something people want to hear, and good for Matt, because that's certainly, I didn't do anything there. That's all him, and he deserves all the credit, and I'm sure he's going to do a terrific job interviewing this person, and you'll hear about that tomorrow, because Matt, of course, will be with us tomorrow morning, as well as Pastor Craig, and tomorrow night, of course, Carrington will be along for the ride on Friday Night Live, 8:15 until 10 p.m., so that's the big day tomorrow. Now, one thing I do have to say here, you know, you have to admit you're wrong when you're wrong. Now, I hate to bring up the Super Bowl again, but a lot was made on this show about the incident during the Super Bowl on Sunday in which Travis Kelce pushed, shoved, bumped, whatever you want to call it, his coach, Andy Reid, 65 years old. And, you know, a lot of people defended that on social media and kind of took a beat for defending that, to be honest with you. And I came down on it hard. I said, this is not good. You would never attack a 65-year-old man like this. You just don't do it. Well, let me tell you, and I'm just read this as it is. Travis Kelce admitted he crossed a line when he bumped Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reid during Sunday's Super Bowl, conceding it was unacceptable while chalking it up to his passion. It's definitely unacceptable, and I immediately wish I would have took it back, Kelce said Wednesday on the New Heights podcast, which he hosts with his brother Jason Kelce of the Philadelphia Eagles. Coach Reid actually came up to me right after that and didn't even have harsh words for me. He just let me know, hey man, I love your passion. I got cameras all over the place on me, Kelce recalled. So, here's what I want to say about this. The man has not been fined. He has not been suspended. And Travis Kelce went on his podcast yesterday, and he said what I did. His quote, it's definitely unacceptable. So, for all the people who defended him, clearly even Travis Kelce doesn't feel it's okay to do what he did. And I give this guy a lot of credit. I give him a lot of credit because he was in front of over 123 million people on Sunday. And that's a big thing. And clearly he did something wrong. I think a lot of people feel he did something wrong. And without being fined, without being pressured, without being forced, he apologized. He said, it's not what you should do. I did the wrong thing. And it wasn't just an apology. Oh, I'm sorry I did it. You know, it's my passion. He didn't do that. He said it's unacceptable. And he knew the moment he did it that it was wrong. And I'll tell you, that takes a big person, man, woman, whoever it is, to admit that you're wrong. That's one of the hardest things I think there is to do. So I give Travis Kelce a whole lot of credit for doing that yesterday. And I think that makes that whole situation look a whole lot better at this particular point. Now, should he have done it? No. But I don't believe he thinks he should have done it. Oh, I give him credit, and I am definitely a fan. Now, I won't say I'm a fan. He's a good football player. But to be honest, I don't follow football all that closely anyway. But I am a fan of his personality and the way he handled that. So I'm a converted fan now of Travis Kelce because he handled that with dignity. And I wish more people handled things with dignity, but he certainly did. So my Cubs cap is off to Travis Kelce and everything I've said in the week. I stand behind. He shouldn't have touched the coach like that, but he's a big man to admit he shouldn't have done it, that it was unacceptable. So there you go. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Remember, we have our person returning tomorrow after a 12-year absence. Excited for that. 9:15 a.m. until 11 a.m. tomorrow. That will reveal who his big guest is, his first big guest. We're looking forward to that. We'll learn about that tomorrow. And I'm sure we'll talk about a whole lot of things as the days go on. Friday is a lot of fun here at this station. It really, really is. I get to see pretty much everybody on Friday except Linda. So it's unfortunate I don't get to see Linda, but I pretty much get to see everybody else, and I enjoy that. So there you go. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it on that that bit. All right, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If there's anything on your mind, we can discuss Valentine's Day. We can discuss the apology by Travis Kelce for shoving his coach, Andy Reid, on Sunday. We can discuss, I'll tell you, we discussed a lot of things in hour number one. We can discuss either of the interviews we did yesterday, Graham Kerr or Larry Merchant, or anything that came out of those interviews, because it certainly was not all about them. Let's take the phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning from Idaho, Scott.
Oh, it's an early morning out there. What, 6:19 out in Idaho?
Yep, that's correct.
Well, Mike, you sound awful bright for 6:19 a.m.
Yeah, usually for work, I clock in at 5:45, so I usually wake up around 4:30, but today's my last day off, so at this point, I'm used to waking up early like this.
Well, I'm glad you're joining us for a period of time. How are things?
Pretty good at the moment. I can't complain.
So, did you hear the beginning of the show here?
I don't think so. I just tuned in about 5 minutes ago.
What do you make of... how was your Valentine's Day, first of all?
Oh, it was great. How was yours?
It was good. Did you do anything fun?
No, not really. So my girlfriend's sick. So we just kind of laid around the house watching TV most of the day, and then I ended up making dinner.
Now, did you get her anything?
Yes. So, yes and no. So she'd never been big on, like, flowers and chocolate and that kind of stuff, but, one thing that she always has loved is sunflowers, and right now I'm working on indoor gardening and hydroponics and stuff because I do hot peppers and stuff. So I put some sunflower seeds into my indoor garden a couple months ago, and I sprouted them. And I've been working on getting those plants nice and tall, and then I presented them to her yesterday.
That sounds very, very, very thoughtful.
Yeah, it was fun.
Good.
And I tell you what, so yesterday I was up early and I tuned in first thing in the morning, and it made my day to hear Graham Keir back on your show again.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed that. Now, did you enjoy Love at 90 years old?
Yeah, that was fascinating to me.
Well, what did you make about the water pressure in the house?
That was kind of funny.
You know, that's usually not a place I would go in an interview, but somehow in that particular interview, we got to that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing I love about you and your show. You guys just... You can talk about anything, and nobody has a problem with it.
No. And Larry Merchant, I love Larry Merchant. Larry's been coming on for 2 decades, and anytime Larry is on, it's just always a pleasure.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed listening to him, too.
So it was a good day yesterday for Valentine. And as I was saying, I got a large diet soda delivered to me before 8 a.m. yesterday with somebody saying Happy Valentine's. And I'm not going to say who it was, but... That was a very nice thing. And then Brinley, one of our young listeners out there, wished me a happy Valentine's Day. I thought that was very nice. And I was with a whole lot of fun people yesterday. So it was a good Valentine's Day.
Yeah, a good time was had by all, for sure.
I think so. I think it was very good. Now, did you hear the bit I did in the last 5 minutes on Travis Kelce here and pushing the coup?
Yes, I did hear that. I did not know that happened. I was actually at work during the Super Bowl, so everything that I know about the Super Bowl and what happened, I've kind of learned from third parties, you know. I wasn't able to watch it personally.
Well, I was very critical of him on Monday and Tuesday about pushing this man who's his head coach, who's 65 years old, and yelling at him. But you know what? He apologized yesterday on his podcast, and I think that takes a lot of character to do that, so I give him all the credit in the world, and I'm a fan of the way he handled this. So you know, shocking to me though is that people on social media were trying to defend that behavior, and he didn't even defend that behavior. I think they probably should have waited for him to come out and say something about it. It was very odd.
Yeah, I agree, they should have waited for his side of the story or his apology, you know. But the fact that he did apologize, that definitely shows that he has good character. He's the bigger man, you know.
I don't know how you say that it's okay to grab a hold of somebody. Even if you like him, even if you like the team, I don't know how you justify that. And that's what was odd in the way people were defending that. But I will tell you this, most people who defended him, they took a pretty good beating on social media. They got nailed, pretty much. You know, this is not something you should be defending.
Right, exactly.
So, but I'm glad he did not try to defend it. He said it was unacceptable.
Yeah, the fact that he kind of put himself on the spot there and said, like, I shouldn't have done this, you know.
Right. Well, and you know what? It all comes back. I was talking about this in hour number one. You know, I had a great Valentine's Day. Things are good with me. Life is fun. Everything's enjoyable right now. And, you know, sometimes when I tell anecdotes on this program about things that have happened to me, I try to leave people's names out of them because I certainly don't want to embarrass or hurt anybody's feelings. But,
right.
But I do think sometimes it probably does. But you know what? That's certainly not the intention.
Right, I get it.
And you know what? I will say this. If I really was hurting somebody's feelings, which I can't imagine I would be, but if I really was hurting somebody's feelings or I really was causing a problem with somebody, I wish or I would hope that they would tell me that and say, listen, bothers me, interrupts me. The person who apparently I'm speaking about, because I wouldn't do it if I knew that it was hurting that person. Now,
so I feel like your mind kind of works the same way mine does. You don't intend to hurt somebody's feelings. You're simply just saying what needs to be said, and however the other person interprets that is on them, you know?
Well, I don't... See, here's the thing. I think when I'm talking about something, if it's something that happened in my life, and it's true, and my intention is not to hurt anybody, then I don't know why I can't say it. That's how you...
Exactly.
But if it really was hurting somebody's feelings, if it really was hurting that person's feelings, I would stop if they said something to me. I mean, why wouldn't I? I mean, that's not good behavior.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So I think that's odd. But I can't... Like I said, honestly, I can't imagine I'm hurting anybody's feelings. But... How in the world do you... do a program without talking about your personal experiences? I mean, I don't know how you'd do it. Of course you have to talk about things that have happened to you.
Exactly. Like one, I guess, bad habit that I have, and it's partly in due to being autistic and having ADHD. So if somebody's telling me a story about something happened to them, I have a bad habit of butting in with my own personal experiences, but I only do it to be able to relate to their story, kind of tie myself in, you know?
Well, and you know, you're right, and I see that, and I also understand, you know what else is odd? Because I don't mention people's names. I have had more than one person come up to me and say, you were talking about me. And I wasn't talking about them at all, but they sure that I'm talking about them, and that's weird to me in a way.
I've had that happen before too.
Yeah, and that's just not the case. So I don't know. It's odd, and I figure if you're happy in your own life, what can I say that's really going to harm you? I don't know. I don't think I can say anything.
Well, Scott, before we get off of here this morning, I did have a question.
Oh, go right ahead.
So yesterday, after hearing Graham Keir on for, was that the third time he's been on now?
Third time, yes, I think so.
Yeah, so that got me thinking. So I know you've had a lot of people that you have had on the show multiple times. I was curious, what is the most times that a single person reappeared on WGH?
Oh, I don't know. We've had a lot of repeat visits. Are you talking about, like, regulars or...
No, not regulars. Like your celebrity interviews.
Celebrity? Well...
Come back, yeah.
You know, honestly, I don't know who did the most repeats, but, I mean, we've had a few people who've been on many... I mean, clearly, Mary Ellen Withrow is probably up there. Phyllis Diller.
She's probably number one.
she could be. Shecky Green was on quite a bit. Sam Donaldson's been on quite a bit. Hugh Downs used to be on a lot. Pat Carroll, you know, Dick Gregory, when he was alive, he was on a lot. So there are several people. I really don't know who holds the record for the most appearances on the program, but those are the people who probably have been on a lot. But those are usually the people that I can talk to anything about. Larry Merchant's been on a lot over the years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those would probably be the ones off the top of my head.
Yeah, that probably would be your, top five, for sure.
I would say so. And when I think back, I'm sure I'm forgetting some. Ellen Clift has been on a lot. But, yeah, good interviews. I always enjoy the time with them.
Yeah. It's always a good interview and a good time if it's with you.
Well, you know, some people would agree with you, some people not. It all depends on who it is.
Right.
Hey, well, thanks for getting up early, and thanks for listening out there in Idaho. I certainly do appreciate it.
Yep, I'll be here all day.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. All right, well, there's our fan base in Idaho, and I certainly do appreciate that. Again, it is always fascinating. I love the technology world we live in, because you could never have done this in radio years ago, doing a show from Marion, Ohio, with somebody listening in Idaho, calling in from Idaho, being listened to by people in Marion, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and other parts of Florida, other parts of the country. That's fascinating to me. I think that's great. And again, the phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 31 minutes past the hour. And again, the topics this morning, the apology by Travis Kelce to his coach, Andy Reid, for the big push in the show. And tomorrow, the big return of somebody who used to be on with me quite a bit. All right, I think we've got another call. Hey, the phones are working this morning. Go ahead, caller.
What happened to Fred Malone?
You know, Fred, it's interesting. Fred ended up with Glenn for a while. Then when Glenn left, Fred was coming on with Linda. And last I knew, he was still coming on with Linda. I still think he does periodically.
Okay, I thought he had to do something with that. What was it over there? I'm trying to think of that. I can't think. It's not coming to my mind, that that house over there.
Malabar Farms?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
He had something to do with that.
Yeah. No, as far as I know, he still comes on with Linda. Last I knew, he was.
Yeah. I haven't heard him for a long time. What I was wondering about.
Linda's on every Thursday from 10 to 12. Listen to her, and he'll pop periodically.
Well, to tell you the truth, when I don't know how many years I've been listening, I sit here and I don't get anything done, so I have to cut off someplace to get stuff done. Because when you come on at 8, I listen. I think sometimes almost till noon.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Any questions are valid. Anything you have to say, feel free to call in. We always enjoy hearing from you. 33 minutes past the hour here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Guest I had on the most. I think the ones I named off there are probably ones, but they're always a lot of fun, so you can't go wrong when you're having a lot of fun. Go ahead, caller.
Two things. I'm glad you said that about Kelce.
Yes.
That makes me feel better, because I didn't approve of that, but I like him and the Chiefs and everything. So I'm glad that you brought that out and everything. And then, did you like my little Valentine I sent you on Facebook?
I did enjoy that, Valen. So you enjoyed the interviews yesterday?
Well, I didn't get to hear. I just heard part of Graham Keir, because there was something I was wanting to hear, those closing arguments on the TV, on that C-Bus for that trial.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I listened to a little bit of Graham, because I always used to watch him way back when.
I couldn't believe it.
That is so neat. That is so neat. 90 years old, finding love. He's such a nice guy.
He is, and he was so open about that relationship yesterday. I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, it was very, very good interview as usual. You're just the best at that.
That's the thing I enjoy most. I love talking to callers, and I like doing the trip, and I like talking about current events, but I love to interview people. I'm fascinated by people. And
Miss Shecky.
Oh, yeah. All the fun we had with Shecky all those years. But, gosh, he lived a good life. 90, 96, 97, I think. 97.
Yeah. He and Phyllis Diller. I just love to listen to your interviews.
Oh, Phyllis was great. Did you get a chance to hear Larry Merchant yesterday?
No, I didn't get to hear that. I wish I would. Is it I can probably go on the archives. And
Both of those interviews are on the website. Adam did a great job with that, getting them up there, and they're under the celebrity section. I think they're the last two interviews there.
Yeah, because I didn't know much about him other than the boxing, because I used to watch boxing with my dad when I was younger and stuff. So.
Yeah, he recapped the football game pretty good. Also talked a little bit, because he knew Donald Trump fairly well from his boxing days. And he also talked quite a bit. He just turned 93 on Sunday and talked about the aging process because he just had a trip to the hospital for vertigo. So he was talking about that. So it was a very I just like Larry Merchant a whole lot. So he's always a good time.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to pull that up and watch it when I have a listen to it when I get extra time then.
Yeah.
But you have a good day. Keep on keeping on.
Hey, thanks for the Valentine.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Yes, I had forgotten about that Valentine I got online. I certainly did appreciate that. All right. 740-751-4038. The phone lines are open here. 740-751-4038. If there's anything you would like to talk about, we can certainly talk about it. And I'm glad that I'm able some mornings to bring news to people, such as Travis Kelce apologizing for what he did to his coach, Andy Reid, on Sunday at the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people were angry about it and disapproved of it. And the fact, I really am impressed by him, the fact that he was able to take responsibility for it. I think that's great. Go ahead, caller.
I'm heartbroken, Scott.
Oh, no.
I didn't get a Valentine from you.
Well, you know, I was passing them out on the corner yesterday, and I don't know where you were.
Hey, instead of a Valentine, what I'd really like, we dropped off a cliff with the local politics. Has Marin resolved everything?
Well, I think they've resolved everything, but there was an interesting thing. When there are 5 Mondays in a month, which there were in January, they do not have 5 city council meetings. So there was a week missed that, and then there was a week, a committee meeting week, so there was no meeting then. So they really had a 3-week layoff. They came back Monday, but there really was not a whole lot on the agenda except for paying fines and things of that nature, which we already knew what the fines were. So I think right now everything is pretty much at a standstill. Nothing has went away. It's just at a standstill, and, you know, I just don't think that story's moving right now. I'm sure it will move at some point, but just kind of hit a wall at this point.
I got you. But you're still committed to it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I want to see how it all turns out. But you know what's interesting? The public seem to be more outraged when it happened because the city council meetings were fuller, people were talking about it more, but for some reason the long goes on and nothing happens, the outrage or the anger seems to die down.
Well, people don't really have much of an attention span, it seems.
Well, that's unfortunate because I think that these are important issues. I still think it's important to know what the mayor did, what deal he made with Miranda. It's important to know if Miranda okaying this appropriation of funds was illegal. I think we need to know about that. I think we eventually will. I think we certainly need to know, did the local Republican Party go after Jason Schaber? Committee meeting wise, I don't think we really know the answer to that. So the issues are all still on the table. I just think if I do it every morning, then it's like I was saying earlier in the show. Some mornings, if I do trivia, people like it. Some people don't. Low politics, some people like it. Some people don't. Potpourri, some people like it. Some people don't. Interviews, people like them. Some people don't. Just kind of, you know, you try to vary it up as much as you can.
Did you get complaints when you were covering it fairly?
The local politics?
Apparently, yeah.
You know, I didn't get any complaints. Heard back complaints from people who were in City Hall. I got that. But that wouldn't have stopped me from covering it, because I assume some of those people probably would complain. But I think we got a call, you know, people said, well, I don't really follow that. That's not really my thing. That sort of thing. It was more of that. It wasn't anything angry. It was just, but you get that with everything. When I was doing trivia every morning, people would come up to me and they'd say, I like it when you just talk and take phone calls. And when I do the interviews, some people say I miss the trivia. So like I said, it's just subjective. You try to do as much of a variety show that you can do.
Right. So are you going to have all the commissioner candidates on?
You know, I'm sure I will at some point, but I'll tell you what's become interesting with the commissioner candidates is, and the commissioners in general, they are very, except Dr. Davis, they are very roped off when it comes to doing interviews. Now, I don't know if that's because they feel they are a sure thing to be reelected, and I like both of the other, Kerr Murray and Andy Apfelfeller, I know very well, I like both of those guys. Kerr Murray was at the fruitcake toss, but they just don't seem to do a lot of interviews. They don't seem, I don't know why that is. I really don't. I wouldn't want to speak on their behalf. Nice men, known them both a long time, but they're not, and it's not just with me. Think of the last time you saw them quoted in the Star. Think of the last time you heard anything. I think this whole thing with the city schools is very strange. You know, there was this this bit where the commissioners gave the city schools till it was supposed to be February 1st to say if they were going to stay or not in their building, honor the lease, or they were going to hit them with legal action. Well, nothing ever came of that. February 1st came and went. Well, I don't know if it resolved itself or not, but certainly no one has said anything at this point about it.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to what's going on. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to give my feedback and say it's nice to hear what's happening in local politics, since you really don't have much in the way of awareness. So.
No. And like I say, if any big local story burst or we've got any more information on any, we certainly would cover it, but I do think it's interesting. Like last week when we did the whole Toby Keith Taylor Swift thing, you know, we got a day and a half out of that, and that was a fun topic because I think it's very relatable to people. But here's the big question: how'd you spend your Valentine's Day?
Oh, well, I did get my wife a gift and a card, and I spent it cutting wood and clearing brush in the woods. For the evening. Yeah, it was beautiful weather, so you got to take advantage of these days because they're so rare in February.
Very nice. Now, was your wife appreciative of all this?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not big on Valentine's Day, Scott. I think you and I probably agree on a lot of that because I do see it as compulsory commercialism. And, you know, you should, if you're in a relationship with somebody, you should show your appreciation, your affection year-round and not be compelled by retailers and, you know, society that you have to engage in a certain act or behavior on a given day. Otherwise, you are somehow deficient. And I think if you look at the statistics, I was reading an interesting article about that yesterday, like the number of occur on Valentine's Day and depression and all these negative, you know, feelings and everything that happen as a result of people, like either they're lovelorn and down because they don't have somebody when everybody else is, you know, celebrating Valentine's Day, or how many people break up because they feel that their partner or significant other, you know, slighted them in some way. They didn't get the floral delivery to work, so all their coworkers couldn't just, like, you know, fawn all over it and whatnot.
Well, you know what's funny to me? That's the interesting thing that social media has brought to us, aside from, you know, flowers being delivered to work, is that people will then take that and they'll tell you how in love they are. will tell you how great things are. And that is just so bizarre to me, because if you really are that happy with your significant other, I imagine that's somebody you probably could tell that to. Now, a friend, I can see putting up a friend online. A coworker, I can see putting up a coworker online. Because those, you don't live with those people. You don't see those people every day, usually. So it's weird to me that people do that with their husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends. I don't quite understand that. Is that to prove that they like you? Do we think they don't like you? Why are they with you if they don't like you?
Well, I think it goes to, you know, not only creating a facade online, you know, depicting yourself and a certain way, but it's also, I know I've talked about before, but it is their creative outlet. You know, it's their individualistic, like, creative outlet is just, you know, self-absorption and promoting, you know, stuff like that. Instead of actually creating things, that's what they create. It's like, oh, look at this. You know,
I'll tell you something. I don't know if I've said this on the air, you know, from today, I forget what I've said and haven't said, but I've talked about the selfie craze where, and maybe it's even selfie, it's just constant pictures of yourself, or with maybe one or two other people, but a lot of pictures of you. And what's interesting is sometimes I think this is odd, and I'll think to myself, wow, that's like a cry for help, I think. But anyway, the other day, and again, I don't want to mention anybody's name, I'm sitting with somebody and we're having this conversation. I'm saying, you know, there's somebody on social media who just puts a lot of pictures up of themselves with really no point in general. It's really, they're not promoting anything that I'm aware of. I think some, maybe every so often they put a promotion in there, but there's just a lot of pictures of them. And the other person knew exactly who I was talking about, and we don't, the three of us have zero connection, but yet they are a friend of theirs on social media. Said, oh, you know, my mom and I talk about all that all the time, how ridiculous that is. So I hope the people realize how that comes off to other people. Now, if you don't care, you don't care. But it certainly isn't just me.
No, it's not just you. But it reminds me of a... I love Norm MacDonald. Are you a fan of Norm MacDonald?
Yeah, very funny.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen that bit he did about his great-grandfather's photograph?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I was in a stand-up routine, and he was saying, he's like, yeah, you know, my great-grandfather had one photograph. He's like, that generation, everybody had one photograph. And it was of him standing carrying 2 feed buckets with a scowl on his face. And he's like, take the picture. I got to feed these hogs. And he's like, that was his one photograph. He's like, what's it going to be like, you know, for our kids' generation? He's like, they're going to be like, hey, you want to see 100,000 photos of my grandfather?
That's exactly. In the weirdest poses, doing the weirdest stuff.
Yeah, I avoid, as a general rule, I avoid any photos of myself that I've, you know, put on social media, well, because I think it should be something like a sunset or, you know, if you're doing something interesting, substantive. I don't think that a picture of me is interesting or substantive.
Well, you know, like I've said before, if I was not doing this program and there was no promotion involved, I don't think anybody would ever see or hear from me on social media, because I would not really know what the point would be. I don't know. I don't understand the idea. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Take pictures of myself just washing the car or something? I don't understand that. Now, for
eating a burger, washing a car in a provocative pose, right?
Apparently, you got to be you got to get these likes. But I don't know. It's very strange because I tell you what, I had a conversation last night with Matt and Carrington when we were taping the television program, And it's interesting because I have become, I always thought promotion was good, especially visual when it comes to audio programming, which is what this is primarily. And a few weeks ago, and I don't know if I told this story on the air, a few weeks ago, Matt got to the studio early on a Friday night, and I happened to get there a little early on a Friday night, and he wanted a milkshake. And I said, well, jump in the car, we'll go down, we'll get a milkshake. So we went down to Topped in downtown Marion. And I didn't get out of the car because I didn't want a milkshake. Matt got out, he went in, he got the milkshake, and he comes back out to the car, and he goes, you'll never believe what happened. And I said, what's that? And he said, that guy knew who I was. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, aren't you on the radio with Scott Spears? And Matt said, yeah. And the guy knew because he listened, but he recognized him because of the social media posts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess the promotion does work. And Carrington has said this, working in the pharmacy, Carrington says she gets approached by people all the time. Well, how would they know what she looks like if not for the social media post?
Right.
So I think they work.
Private security soon.
I probably, it's getting to that point. Now, and I think this is an interesting topic today off of Valentine's Day, and I've talked about it with a few people here this morning. I mean, do you get the feeling that I seem like I'm an unhappy person?
Unhappy, no. Realistic, yes.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel optimistic about most everything. I don't feel like there's any unhappiness.
It's real, and you know, the world that we, and when you look at as far as relationships, you know, most of them will fail, and you can't. I don't know the fact and the statistics and how it plays out on a daily basis all across the country, so. You know, I'm not saying that there isn't, you know, true love and people don't make it, but statistically speaking, you won't. So, I think you are probably more aware of that than the general public, let's put it that way.
Well, it's interesting to me that I think that... When you have an experience in your life, and you know, at this point, I've had a few experiences in my life, I go to great pains to not mention any names because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. But at some point, you got to talk about what's happened in your life. You got to say, listen, I mean, you know what? I have told the story about sending the engagement card down to family members. I've been telling that story for over 10 years. I have told the story about being engaged and not being, I was engaged. I've told that story for years. Nobody ever complained. And obviously those didn't look very well on those people, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. But I never mentioned their names, so I thought it was okay. Now all of a sudden, if I say a certain thing, people get a little tense about it for some reason, and I'm not sure what that's all about. I don't think I've changed.
Relationships?
No. I really don't know, to be honest. It's very peculiar. It'd be hard to explain, but the impression that people think things are mean-spirited, and I see them the engagement, you know, engagement I wasn't aware of, and the card that sent with the truth. Both of those are true stories, and they happened with real people. But I never heard from any of those people that they were angry. And I've said many times on the air, I never had a good relationship with any of my aunts because my mom was the only girl in the family. She had all brothers, so all I had was aunts who were not, you know, blood relation, and they were not really nice people to be around. Now, they didn't call me up and say, why are you doing that? Because I didn't give their name. So I don't know why people all of a sudden have become so sensitive. And I argue with Carrington all the time to her face. He's not all that sensitive.
Well, that's being real. I mean, if it's factual and that was your experience, there's nothing wrong with being honest about it.
I think people don't like the marriage thing. I think they don't like when I knock them off marriages. And again, as I said the other day, you can do what you want. I'm not telling anybody to, and I really would find it hard to believe anybody would care what I thought anyway. But the point is that it just points out a pattern. But it's the same pattern I would point out to somebody who was, maybe an addict with drugs or alcohol or anything of that nature. If you go out and get in 5 wrecks in the course of 10 years, maybe you need to improve your driving skills here.
Indeed. But you got to think, how many people are you touching a nerve with, because what you're saying, you know, is relevant to them.
Well, that's the problem.
That's the problem. Like, you know, most people that you come across, they're going to have been involved, you know, in multiple marriages or divorces and whatnot. So, yeah.
Well, and
like the old days where it was a very rare occurrence. So if you said it, like, it wouldn't be at most people. But nowadays it is. It's almost almost everybody.
Well, and again, I just give this disclaimer. I think I gave it earlier. If I really was hurting somebody's feeling particular, which I can't imagine I would be. I really can't imagine that. But if I was, if they told me in private, listen, I don't like you doing that, I would stop. I mean, why would I continue on trying to hurt somebody's feelings? That seems silly to me.
Yeah, but people also need to grow some thicker skin and be willing to, you know, have a conversation with somebody that they disagree with. And that's the problem that we have, and we've talked about cancel culture and flake, you know, mentality, and that's what prevails in this country. Instead of, you know, tackling serious issues and having a good faith discussion, people just immediately goes down and get offended and try to silence the other party.
You know what I think it is? This has just been the whole thing when you say cancel culture there. I think really what it is, we have a society right now that you're with me or you're against me. You're either all in or you're all out. And if you say anything that can be even remotely critical of me, then I can't like you, and nobody else can either. And that's, I don't know any perfect people, so I don't know how in the world you could be positive about somebody all the time. I just don't think that's realistic. Now, I'm positive about a lot of things with people, but you can't. Who can you be positive about all the time?
It's kind of a narcissistic society. Would you agree with that?
I think so, and I think also people have, honestly, my take is a lot of people suffer from anxiety, a lot of people suffer from depression, a lot of people know that what you're saying is probably closer to the truth than what the side that they're trying to do, and I think that escalates what you're saying. And honestly, I think the only difference between me and this situation is when you have a conversation like this, it's over the water cooler. When I do, people are listening. And I think that's probably the biggest difference.
Right. It's the same thing with social media, though.
It is.
You know, if you put something out there, it always kind of to me, and with all the censorship that they do on Facebook and whatnot, you know, they're very, you really can't have conversations or try to have honest conversations and reach much in the way of an audience. But how many people, you know, if you say something, you post
15 seconds,
90% content is, you know, benign, like, you know, uplifting, positive, you know, things, and people. But by God, if you post something that triggers them,
there it comes.
There it comes.
You're listening to The Talking Place.
Scott Spears heading for the duck.
The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most parents, you know, all the kids wanted a mother like me.